This yesterday, the answer is yes. It's the same music, and there's a reason. Today we do part two of the program that we started yesterday, coinciding with the inauguration of number 46, President of the United States. So I figured, for me anyway, this works. If I'm doing something in series, the music itself becomes a hint. If you're looking through your old archives, you will hear the music and go, oh, yeah, that's part two. Oh, yeah, that's part three, because the same music I try to use anyway. Okay, that was, of course, Hank Mobley with Soul Station. You heard it yesterday. He's on tenor sax, Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Art Blakey on drums. And this is the title track of Mobley's 1999 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is handover day, power handover day in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump and wife Melania are not participating. They've already booked it, so to speak. They got out of town, not wishing either to extend the traditional courtesies of one president and wife, basically greeting and giving respect to the incoming president. But no, the Trumps are a different breed of people. They decided that's not what they're going to do, and they booked it out of town. They got out of Dodge before these ceremonies really started. No love lost. Everybody, we got through it, and it was pretty interesting. You will tell us more about it. So they left town to underscore their historic snub of the Bidens. You know, so unnecessary, but so Trump. Very, very Trump to do. Very bad manners. And, of course, his wife apparently doesn't have the guts enough to say, hey, you can do that if you want. I will attend this ceremony. I'm not going to let you drag me into that primitive way that you seem to love to operate in. But they're gone. The show goes on, as does this show. It goes on, too. So this is part two of the program we started yesterday, talking about, you know, this, the installment of a new president and what it means. I hope you might have been able to catch a glimpse of the ceremonies today. But you don't, for the purposes of our discussion, you didn't have to. But it was, it's worth, if you get back home and can look at it, if you have time, it's worth looking at. It is, after all, a historic moment. And there are certain observations that you can make for yourself. And it's worth it. Don't miss the opportunity. Even if you're not inclined to watch these kinds of things, it could be helpful to watch it. So I'm asking the question today, as President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris take their oaths of office, what are your concerns about what's ahead for them and for the nation? I'll repeat. As President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris take their oaths of office, what are your concerns about what's ahead for them and for the nation? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Now, it is always more profitable, more fulfilling when we get people to stick to the subject and not wander off. We had a lot of wandering yesterday. And, of course, you don't need to answer everything, including things not asked at any given time. Simply, well, I'm on air. I might as well just let her rip. No, you stay focused on the question. This way we all get a lot more out of the program. And people surely come to the question that you want to answer, because we'll get a sense of what questions remain to be asked. But please do try to stay as close as possible to the question asked. There's a reason for these questions. We want to gauge how listeners of PRN stack up, or listeners of Lead Stories stack up against the national norm. What are people thinking out there? They're thinking all kinds of crazy things. But if you give us a good answer, meaning you paid attention to the question and you have information relevant and germane to the question, that helps us a lot to gauge what people thinking. All right, so you have an answer, or you'd like to put forward an answer, give it a try, at 888-874-4888. It's a very simple question, but not really. When you look at the dimensions of the question, it will take you, or could take you, into a whole bunch of places that you didn't expect to go, but it is a question that we're dealing with today. Let me repeat it. As President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris take their oaths of office, what are your concerns about what's ahead for them and the nation? Clearly have a point of reference in their predecessors, the President of the United States not being around. He decided he's going to check out, and he and his wife have gone. They're not doing things that were accustomed to be done, and that is to at least indicate that there's some civility left, and they are extending warm greetings, even if they don't like the incoming couple. They ought to behave in a different way, because this, of course, is for the sake of the country. It's not about them. But, of course, with Trump, it's only about them. It could only be about them. All right. I'm searching now for something I have lost. But the number is 888-874-4888. Let's see if I can find it quickly so we can get on with the program. 888-874-4888. No matter what people say, what they say they think, the fact is it is a very historic moment and a very historic transfer of power at a very historic time. You can't, you can't help but acknowledge that. And we have some ideas about what shaped the moment and what will continue to shape the moment beyond today. So, Gwen, from yesterday, you started quite a stir yesterday. What have you to say today?
All right. I guess I'm so eager to talk to you, Beatrice. I wanted to say, first of all, that I think you need not fear the First Lady, because many, many years ago, Jill was a very good friend of my sister's, and she was our homecoming queen at Upper Moreland High School. And I think she's always been a very nice person. So I don't think you have anything to fear from her. And I think that one of the things I'm seeing is pliability. I think that there is a trying on the side of the new president, trying to include and a spirituality that I don't think I saw before in him. And I think that when a lot of people die around you, you have a lot of shifting that happens in your soul. And people can, you know, people can think that's not true, but I really think it is true. I think there has been a shift in him. I think that I am shocked at the economic forecast that you know, the budget that he's putting forth. When I don't hear Dr. Jack Rasmus, you know, going crazy about a budget, and I listened to him last Thursday, and I was waiting for him to say, but wait a minute. But he wasn't. He was just explaining, and it sounded sort of like a budget that Jack Rasmus would have written up. So I thought, well, maybe this isn't going to be as, you know, as terrible as a lot of people say. But I think that one of the things we as Americans need to do is we need to stop being so cynical and so negative. We know that I, for one, want to see consequences for those who thought it was okay to bash their way into the Capitol. I'm sorry, it's very symbolic to me, and I think that I don't care what your thoughts were. You chose to go in, you chose to smash the doors in, you could have walked away. And I think the fact that there is no consequences for this is leaving a gaping hole. It just is just like unfinished business. But that said, I also want to say that I really hope that the newscasters tone it down a bit, because I think that we do have to start on some level working together. You know, everybody, I think Donald Trump was a lightning rod for splitting families and splitting communities and just brought the worst out in everybody. I'm not blaming it on him altogether. We are responsible for our actions. But I think that we should have consequences for people that broke the law that day. And I think we should also try to look in the future in not such a negative and pessimistic way. I mean, you create what you want to see, and if all you want to see is negative and cynicism, believe me, you'll get that. But I think that we're at a crossroads here. We really have to start participating. If you want to see it, then get out and make it happen. And I'm not just saying that as a pep rally. I'm telling you that I feel like a lot of people who voted for Biden just because they didn't want Trump are feeling like, okay, I'm safe now. I can sit on my laurels and just rest. But that's not true. Because if you do that, believe me, there is going to be some rich fat cat at the top who has his agenda ready to roll, And he is happy that you're out of the way. He or she is happy that you are not in the way to give them bumps in the road. So I wish for the ruling class to have many, many bumps in the road this time around. And I wish for the working class and poor people to create those bumps. I think it's our obligation to our country. And that's all I'm going to tell you today.
Thank you very much for getting us started today. And on a hopeful note, Mohammed from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
Sincerely hope your health continue to improve.
Thank you.
My concerns with the new administration is how they will deal with, say, the situation in Venezuela, Syria, in Yemen. You know, they are funding Saudi Arabia, who are actually, you know, really starving and killing a lot of children in Yemen in their little war. In Venezuela, they have the sanctions, and that's hurting a lot of people. In Syria, you know, they're having problems there also with the United States funding other people. And I say that, Utrice, I have family in Colombia, and I've been to Venezuela, and I know how it is, and I know the people. And it just bothers me the way they treat them like that. And I'm also, I guess you might know by the name Mohammed, a Muslim. And I'm concerned about my brothers in Iran. They have sanctions on them also. And it's all because they want their oil. So that's all.
Yes,
that's
but,
my
are you answering? Are you actually answering the question?
Okay. You said what was our concerns, right?
I asked
the new administration
the actual what are you concerned about with regard to the administration?
Their policy with Venezuela, Yemen, and Syria, and Iran. I'm concerned about their policy because those are my people and brothers over there that they're killing and starving.
Yes, but what about people at home here? Are you concerned about that?
I'm concerned about them also. I'm trying to work with them. We know what's going on here. We're trying our very best. We've been doing that for a long time because we know where America's going. America is the Babylon that they talk about. And this is the fall of the empire. And people are starving. They don't have jobs. They can't pay their rent. A lot of them don't have food. And I'm concerned about that. And I'm helping out a lot. And when I say that, you know, you have people like the people that don't have food and they're requesting, you know, donations for things. Yesterday I got a letter in the mail where it was a dog. They want a donation, and they had the dog saying, don't leave me out in the cold. So we're doing a lot of help to help our people over here too also, right? But when you travel like I travel, you begin to learn that in this world we are basically one people. And I'm concerned about our people here and my people and friends abroad. Because when I'm there, they treat me sometimes better than sometimes the way they treat me here. So my concern, when they ask me, you're not scared to go up to Shanghai by yourself? I say, if I need to be scared, it need to be right here because I don't have problems with those people there. They take me in and treat me like I've been there forever. It's
all right,
America.
But again, I have to interrupt, and I'll tell you why.
It's okay.
The question was, as they take their oaths of office, what are your concerns about what's ahead for them and for the nation? You're telling me something entirely different.
My concerns for them, said administration, right? One thing I know, Utrice, is Biden or any president, they don't really run the show. It's the Bilderberg Group.
Okay, you're going into a whole different... Okay, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to change your mind about anything. You can believe whatever you believe. I would respect that. But when you are participating in our group discussion, the hope is
concerns how this administration will deal with, say, the CIA, the NSA.
No, no, you're off. You're off on a whole tangent now.
Okay.
And it means you're not paying attention, and you're not answering the question, because you have no intention of answering the question. You have an intention of telling us something entirely different, and you prioritize that. So I'm going to ask, do you have an answer for the question asked?
Okay,
what are your concerns about what's ahead for them, meaning Biden and Harris,
okay,
and the nation?
Right.
That's the question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, my concerns about foreign policy and how we're going to deal with this, what they call a pandemic here. I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
And let me someone else get the... Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thanks so much, though, for contributing. Thank you. 888-874-4888. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Well,
so I'll ask you, I'll repeat the question.
No. You just threw me a curveball. I thought yesterday the question was, what should happen to Donald Trump now? Wasn't that yesterday?
That was yesterday. Today is
okay,
a continuation.
Okay, you told me, because when I talked yesterday, you said, think about it, and maybe you can come up with an answer that I'm looking for, because I wasn't answering the question yesterday. So I thought about it last night, and then I think I have an answer for what should happen to Donald Trump. Would I be permitted to say it?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm sorry. That's why I got on early, because I had the answer. So the answer that I've come up with, because of his bad behavior and the way he made people get all upset and nervous and to the point of being terrorized for the whole 4 years, the way he behaved was terrible. And I think a fitting punishment would be he would have to be under house arrest for 4 years, the same 4 years he put people through all of this craziness. And he has to have one of those bracelets on his ankle. And here's where you come in. He has to listen to a loop tape from Miss Waters saying, you know what? What is she going to be saying?
Impeach 45.
All right. She has to hear that all day long for 4 years. And that would be a good punishment.
We know this is not serious, what you're saying. It's humorous, but it's not serious.
Okay. Well, but would it be a good punishment?
I don't know. I don't think about these things in those terms. I just want him. I wanted him out, and I wanted him to be out by a process which did not occur or has not yet occurred, a process that is as democratic, as undemocratic as he is. I just thought it would have been an important thing to do for the country to exercise judgment against him on the laws that are on the books, put him on trial, that kind of thing. But it didn't happen, or it hasn't yet happened. I don't know whether it even has a chance of happening. But at least he's out.
Well, the only reason why I'm happy that Biden won was because I knew what Trump was doing to you, and I didn't like the way you were feeling, being affected by him. And I kept trying to tell you it's just an act and don't take it so serious, because
I do take it very seriously, because nobody should have that luxury, if I use the word to so corrupt a process and walk away still smelling clean, but who actually isn't. Something still needs to be done. I don't think we are finished with Donald Trump yet. Thanks a lot.
What about the Clintons? What about the Clintons? When are they going to get their due?
Whenever the process decides. People have to insist on closure here. You have the Clintons. You have more than the Clintons. You have go all the way back. You have the Bushes. You have even Obama.
Even Biden, his son.
There has to be some kind of cleaning out of the records so that we all know where we stand and we're not all dragged into some kind of a fantasy that negates the realities that Americans have had to live with for many, many decades. We owe it to ourselves to do that, it seems to me. And the fact that it is not being done and somebody arbitrarily decides, okay, it's over, let's not bring this up again, let's move on. That is a typical cowardly attitude in Congress. It's over, let's move on. No, you should understand what actually happened. We demanded of other nations a thorough accounting, a thorough investigation. We should have it here so that the books, it's registered on the books and the facts are there. However they choose to deal with it, it's up to them. But the record should be very clear. As you know, we did this long series on the Clintons and their so-called foundation and the horrible things that they had done all over the world. And they had not been made to account. I think this is the only program that delineated chapter and verse on what it is that they literally had done. And by Charles Ortel, who is all about finding the details and talking about the details. So I don't buy this idea that let's turn the page and move on. I don't want to move on. In some instances, we have to stay stuck and unearth the truth and confront it and put it on the record. And then you could move on, if that is possible. Thanks, E, for calling in. Thanks for calling in.
For taking my call. Thank you very much.
No problem. Ed from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay, Ed. How are you doing?
You know, me and my sons.
I like that answer.
Bringing it back to the question that you had asked initially, my main concern with the Biden, Kamala Harris new administration after the honeymoon and the sigh of relief is over, which this country is entitled to a certain extent, that the pressure will be applied to make them do what needs to be done to rectify the hole that this country is heading for. I mean, the orange man for now is out of the picture. We still have a record amount of foreclosures coming up on the horizon. We've lost 1/6 of private restaurant business in across the nation. We've lost all those jobs that are gone, all of those retail jobs, all of those retail sale jobs. For example, Christmas time, usually there's a spike in employment. There wasn't this Christmas time because all the retail sale jobs weren't there that are usually there to help people make it over the hump. A lot of businesses are not coming back, small businesses. The education system is in total disarray. Some states are considering scrubbing whole grades or giving students a pass because of the fact that we couldn't traditionally have education like we normally do. And the pressure needs to be applied to these people. We got to remember, this guy for years, this guy was called Senator Credit Card. He's from Delaware. He's the author of the reformed bankruptcy laws that make it harder for a common person to file for bankruptcy, which was one of the reliefs that could be used for years in this country to regroup your finances. So this guy is not the savior. This guy is not the answer. And if we don't take this opportunity to apply pressure consistently to him, we'll be right back where we started from. I mean, take your sigh of relief, run your victory lap. We got to get to work. Can't let him. He surrounded himself with all of the old sycophants from the Clinton, Obama administration. He's loaded his cabinet with Washington insiders who are pros at maintaining the status quo. And we can't buy it. We can't drink the Kool-Aid. Got to put a foot to this guy's neck and make him do what we need to do to make this country better for it.
Some people would say, my gosh, why are you so harsh? And you weren't this way with other presidents.
I was just, well, personally, I've been this way with all presidents. I was this way with Obama. I was this way with Clinton. If you know me, my mantra has never changed. You know, and it's not rhetoric. These politicians are public servants, and we have a public agenda. And if we're mature politically, we need to express it, and we need to hold them accountable. We can't fall into this cult of personality love affair. I can already hear it in the news announcers. Oh, and he's Papa Biden. He's not only President Biden. He's Papa Joe, and she's in her beautiful red dress and all that. Listen, that's garbage. Save me all that. Get to work. Come on. We got things to do. We got to get this right. Let's get to work.
What would you say belongs in the upper end, at the top of the list of priorities?
Well, I mean, obviously, on the top of the priorities is the pandemic. I'm not a fan of vaccinations. I wish more traditional methods would be pushed. I think we need universal health care. So, you know, that being said, addressing the pandemic, addressing whatever needs to control this, whatever that needs to be done. I'm not a fan of the vaccines. I don't think that that's a viable alternative as it's being pushed, because there's going to be consequences down the road. I mean, if there's after effects, if there's side effects, we're in a worldwide beta test of this disease, of this vaccine on this disease. And we don't know what this retro RNA changing medicine is going to do to the human body down the road. So that being said, I mean, we need to address health care. We need to address housing. We need to address economic stimulus. My belly is give $2,000 for the next 6 months to everybody who needs it. But that's me. You know, he's not asking me. But those are priority right there. That's priority number one, hit the ground running.
Did it surprise you that you didn't see some faces? Were you able to watch it?
I watched a little bit of it. I'm at work. I caught the tail end of his speech.
Oh, there were some interesting absences. I was a bit worried about that because they were significant by their absence, and I wondered what accounted for it.
Well, we're dealing with a whole new thing now. I mean, this is very, very interesting times. I believe we're going through a paradigm shift with the combination of the virus, the combination of the Trump antics. All of these things have conspired to create a new status quo, and they're still trying to feel this out. I mean, well, I've been in the Army, and to see all those troopers around reminded me of Panama, reminded me of Grenada. You know, I mean, it reminded me of a state that's messed up when you need that much military force at your president's inauguration. So that being said, you know, we're in very interesting times, and if we don't attack this correctly, we could be on the verge of the end.
Well, let's hope we're not on the verge of the end. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing today. Let's go to Michigan and talk a bit with Leona.
Greetings, Eutrice, and greetings to your audience.
Thank you, and to you too.
Thank
you. So what is on your mind in terms of an answer to that question?
Well, okay, my concerns about what's ahead for the Biden-Harris administration and what's ahead for the nation. I think it has to do, well, my concern is the 75-plus million people who are convinced that this election was stolen from Trump. And I have a concern, for whatever that's worth, about why the Supreme Court didn't pick up this issue. It was within their jurisdiction.
Well, we don't know that there are 75 million people. We don't
75
know that to be a fact.
Plus. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. We don't know that to be a fact. It's been a
okay.
figure that's
all right.
been thrown
okay,
out
yeah.
there.
Let me be a little more precise. Right. A whole heap of them, though. It may not be 75 million, but there's a fair amount of number. Good point. I'm thinking that it's possible that those people who acted out or acted in on January 6th, a lot of them, I think, are of the opinion. A lot of folks that were in that rally were of the opinion, I think, that Trump won that election. So I don't know however many, but okay. That's one concern. And the other concern is Donald Trump. You know, God bless him. Like you said, he ain't going nowhere. I think in his parting remarks, even today, he was saying that we'll be back in some other form. For whatever, it could be in the form of another political party or something else. I don't know, but right.
Why would it?
Well, because some people seem to take it a little further. He seems to have a pretty sizable group of followers. He seems to have, and some of those followers do things like what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. I think.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it was a big psyops, like Ed said, or something. You know, I don't know. The other thing is another concern was, the Clintons and the Obamas. You know, they in full force again. I guess I don't know. They were present. I got a chance to watch some of the inauguration on C-SPAN today. And I prefer C-SPAN because they let you make up your own mind. They just show you the footage and the sound and, you know, not a bunch of editorial. You know, you just make up your own mind of what you're looking at. And speaking of that, I noticed that after Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, made his speech, bless his heart, he seemed like he had to sit down immediately. Matter of fact, there was a camera shot of him sitting down with his head down a little bit. And then somebody
I'm glad you raised that, because I looked at it very carefully. And it made me uncomfortable that Biden is not, at least he didn't look it today, in the best of health.
Mm-mm.
And so I think that question needs to be broached and it needs to be answered definitively. Is he even going to make it through the next 4 years? That concerns me. You know, the little nuances and his speech and his slow, and he's fighting in spirit. He's trying to fight, but his body's not keeping up with him.
I heard somebody say it might have been Gary Noll or something. Somebody said that it was a former elder of Blue's to run him anyway as a candidate for the Democratic Party.
Well, we don't know. I know many people in, you know, the upper years who are quite in good form and
okay.
who can handle it. But what
okay.
I'm suggesting yeah. is that has Biden formed a coterie of advisors or trusted people around him who, well, you know, they have more than the usual amount of influence in helping him. that troubles
mm-hmm.
me a great deal. I think we need to find out what exactly is going on with him and his health.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I felt kind of a little bit, you know, a little bit bad for him. I didn't vote for him, though. And, you know, I didn't vote for the other guy either. But, yeah, because I think Dick Gregory, you know, was right. You know, when you vote for the lesser of two evils, it's because you've got some evil in yourself, you or yourself. Not that I'm evil-free, but never mind. I didn't want to do that. And the other thing was, another thing to be concerned about is, I guess, with Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
Oh, Kamala. Okay, she was described as African-American, Asian-American woman, what have
yes.
you. A lot of different titles. But I heard somebody describe her behavior as somewhat like a... you know, not quite an overexcited child or a very, very happy, I don't want to say puppy because I don't mean derogatory, but she seems to be just thrilled to be in the room. And that
well, wouldn't you be if you got snatched up and you get a title as Vice President of the United States in case anything happens to the big guy, you're it? Wouldn't that excite you?
Well, yeah. I suppose it would excite me. If,
okay.
However, what I'm looking at though is being so there's a threat of being eager to please, maybe too eager to please.
Ah.
With that kind of overexcitement.
Yes, the desire to please, and what
yes,
that could mean. Yeah.
Right. And the trouble, the question might be exactly who is she interested in pleasing. Now, mind you, like I said, and this ain't nothing new, AIPAC and that video I saw of Benjamin Netanyahu in the United States Congress getting over 20-something standing ovations. I saw a news article not too long ago where this one rabbi in Israel, I can't find an article right now, he was saying that since America is falling, maybe it's time for Israel to step up. That was the headline at one particular article.
Well, all
but,
of these things, to me, they're not as terrifying. They are quite logical in terms of, I mean, natural fallout. People will tend to think this way. In some quarters, some people would tend to think another way. That doesn't
well, what, what's there? Well, what, what's
you know,
go ahead.
The idea that don't conjure up something as a threat until you are seeing signs of a threat. It's like my concern about is Mr. Harris counselor or helper or helpmate to Kamala Harris? Could we be assured that he has nothing to do with making decisions and that it's all hers?
No way. Oh, well, no, forgive me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You see what I mean? But that's what I mean. We have people who we should be clear are not going to be part of decision making, but you never know. He's married to her. She's married to him. Okay. How realistic is it to think that people aren't going to cross the lines and take on more authority than they were meant to have?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So
right.
I'm
exactly.
concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I noticed in his inaugural speech today, President Biden talked about, he used the phrase uncivil war, which I thought was interesting. And in this country, based on my limited knowledge and research, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not unusual for, unfortunately, for those people who classify themselves as white to take out their frustrations on non-white people. In too many cases, with impunity. But I don't want to take up a lot of time. Let me say this in closing. I wished, well, whatever. That young lady who did the poem, Amanda Gorman, Biden should have taken some tips from her in terms of speech, in terms of delivering an uplifting, inspiring, thoughtful speech. She
didn't oh, really?
Nailed it, that young
oh,
lady,
Lordy.
I thought.
Oh, Lordy.
Did
well,
you see that?
No.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Is,
okay. I thought she was excellent.
Yes, she was excellent.
22 years old. Woo,
she was supposed
it.
To be excellent. Everybody who appeared in front of a microphone today was supposed mm-hmm. to be excellent.
Okay.
We should expect excellence from every single one of them.
Okay. Yeah, well, some did better than others, I think.
Some did better. I agree with that. Because watching, I went, really? You could have done better than that. You do it at a concert, a regular concert, singing in a bar, whatever. You would do it
oh, yes,
better than that.
Right. Yeah, right. That's right. Yep. Yep, that's right.
But
yep.
The main thing is, I hoped that it wasn't a literal expression in some cases of their heart, because if it were, it means that they're in trouble. Some people, you know, they're good at what they do. They suffer from stage fright. This is a moment they never experienced before. You have to put all that in the mix
mm-hmm.
as to how it affects people. You would be surprised. They're great entertainers and whatnot. They get in front of an audience, and they sound terrible because it's just
mm-hmm.
it's just stage fright. That's all it is. But we are forgiving. We're building in a lot of forgiveness today. But after today, we're back to usual.
Okay. Let me add one last thing, though, Yatrice.
Sure.
I was surprised to find today that former President Donald Trump pardoned or commuted a sentence for Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, the former mayor of Detroit. He was sentenced to 28 years on a number of charges. It seemed a little excessive compared to what other people get for the so-called crimes he was supposed to have committed. But he did 7 years, and President Trump pardoned his sentence. So, that's interesting. I don't know if he did that to get back at Governor Whitmer or whatever, but I think it's made some people happy.
It may just be a tactical move, that's all. It's not like he has great feelings for Kilpatrick, who really deserved it, I think. He was just so inexcusably horrid. And was doing all this while the constituents were suffering, mm-hmm. and seemed to have an air of arrogance, just like Trump, about it. I can do what I want. I got this under control.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be back out. No matter what they do, I'll be back out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was a kind of professional courtesy, I think, from Trump.
Okay.
One crook to another.
Okay. All right. Well, I imagine his sons are delighted to maybe, you know, be with their dad again or something. He's got a pair of twins and another son. So, yeah. Well, what have you. Yeah, I was kind of like tickled and surprised to see that, but there you have it.
Well, Kilpatrick, we did stories on what he did.
Okay.
Not what he allegedly did, but what he actually did. And it was
okay.
horrible. to compare the benefits he yielded from his criminal activity and what people had to live with, the standard that they had to live with. And it didn't bother him at all.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when it first broke, that story. I was thoroughly disappointed when that, well, because I think a lot of people, you know, who didn't know the inside, you know, had a, you know, put a lot of faith and you know, hope in him or what have you to deliver.
But, well, everybody has, you know, they tend to anyway. They have high hopes, but mm-hmm. you're dealing with scoundrels, and you know you are. Hmm. So there should be no surprise. If you elect a scoundrel, that's what you've got for leadership.
Right, okay. I didn't know he was a scoundrel myself, but okay, go ahead.
You talk mm-hmm. to people and they'll tell you. They knew it. There was no mm-hmm. surprise. The only thing that they raised, which was a form of comforting themselves in the way they were feeling, was he was a black man. And they framed it in the context of, see, a black man trying to do good, and of course they go after him. Yeah, well, the fact is, a lot of the charges against him were very legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
They never talk about that.
Right. Yes, yes. But it did seem like 28 years was a bit much. It seemed like it, because there had been other folks, I think, who had similar charges. They didn't get that much time. I remember doing a little digging on that, but I can't remember everything about it at the moment. But I get your point. I get your point.
Of the comparison. You do the crime, you get caught, you do the time. Hopefully you have a great lawyer that could snatch away a couple of years from your sentence, but you do the crime, you do the time. Simple. Because you had no problem betraying the aspirations and the trust of the people. You didn't use some of the money that you stole and you went door to door to bring rice and flour and milk. You didn't do that. This was all about you profiting personally, you and your family, from your position to which you were elected because people put their trust and faith in you. You don't deserve anything,
okay,
as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, you know? Gotcha.
So,
okay, one
thanks
last
to the owner for calling.
Oh,
I'm
all right.
Sorry?
Huh?
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling in today. All right, David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Right, I'll try to be as lazy as possible. To me, it's basically simple. Biden and the vice president were selected by those who rule. So Biden's job is to rule and be responsible to the people that put him in there, the ruling elite. And that is what he has to do. On the people side, it means that he has to decide how many bones he's going to throw out with how much meat on it to keep the people in check. So this is an administration that is responsible or dedicated to those who rule, but their job is to throw out enough bones to keep the people in check and without rebellion. So that is his basic job. And the job of the people is to lean on him as much as possible so that they get more bones with meat on it for a while. And that is basically the scene that I see. It's a very simple thing. You can't expect Biden and the vice president to really be responsible or beholden to the masses of people because they got in there just because the people at the top wanted them. The elite that they are in charge. Biden works for them, and just look at his record and his history, and that has not that's not going to stop. So his job is to be at the top, be the president for the ruling class, and keep the people in check so the ruling class gets richer and richer.
So you don't give any credit at all to the fact that he is trying his best to be a stark contrast to what has been there before, and summoning up the courage to implement demands that have long been made but never enacted.
Well, it's better than what has gone before, but the ruling class does not care anything about the welfare of the masses of people. They care about, you know, predatory capitalism, American style, and all that goes all over the world in the empire. And if they have to give up a few bones, they'll do it. And when the time comes, they will take those bones back. They will take those bones back. So that's what we're faced with. So Biden, I don't think he has changed, is going to change his allegiance. He will just do whatever's necessary to strengthen the positions of those people at the top. And he's less odious than Trump, so that's one of the reasons they selected him. And we have to keep that in mind. He was selected by those at the top to be one of the candidates in the one-party election for that division, for the leftists, not leftists, but not as far right as the other division, Republican division. So that's the way I see it. I hope I've got my point across without any yammering. So
yes,
that's the way
you
I
have.
See it.
You have gotten your point across without yammering. Thank you so much. And we bring that brings us to the end, I should say, of the program today. I thank you very much for contributing, all of you. And then we return to each other again tomorrow to talk some more. Bye-bye.